Hello everyone, my name is Tony Mitra. Thank you for inviting me here. I'm not a scientist like him, but I do, I'm a podcaster, blogger, citizen journalist, videographer, among other things. I'm writing a book, Canada Under GMO Attack. I'm a retired engineer. That's how I befriended him. I went to his farm and put him under my camera asking about GMOs and what his views were. I have only two things to basically discuss today. One is about glyphosate testing, in which I'm very involved at the moment, and Canada is in a very bad situation, worse than almost any other country I know of with regard to this issue. But also about citizen action, what we can do. There is a lot of things we can do and a lot of things being done on the ground up about this pesticide and GMO menace. I'll talk about it. But because of some questions came up and one gentleman was asking about United Nations, I'm not sure whether his question was what I think it is, but nonetheless I mentioned there is a United Nations protocol called Cartagena Protocol. Whenever a motion comes into United Nations, whichever town the meeting was being held at that time, it gets attached to that city, like Doha round and so on, you know. So in 1972, this United Nations meeting was in Cartagena, and this motion is to do with preservation of biological diversity of different nations. And this motion was brought to the floor by prime ministers of two countries, Sweden and India. Sweden for a different reason, India for a different reason. India's reason was representing many countries in the tropical belt who have a high biomass and who have many kinds of species that per square mile compared to here, for instance. And those were being patented by U.S. corporations, although they didn't invent it. It was invented by farmers and so on locally. So they were concerned that their so-called intellectual property was being hijacked or pirated, if I may put it that way. So in 1972, most of the country didn't support, so it didn't pass into any resolution, nothing happened. But these countries and many other European, such as Norway and others, apart from Sweden, supported this motion. And it slowly gained momentum. It became a protocol in 1992. It took 20 years. And that protocol was after gathering information from all member countries who supported it. By that time, Canada was a very big supporter of this movement. And it became a kind of law, international law, not applicable to any country except those that sign it and turn it into a specific law in their own country. So, in 1992, it became a protocol. The head office of that is in Canada. Maybe that's why you asked. It's in Montreal. It has got a huge repository of information from 164 countries that have signed it, including Canada, by the way. But, unfortunately, in my point of view, Canada went 180 degrees turnaround. They don't want to preserve their biological diversity. They never wrote a law that is applicable within Canada following the protocol of Cartagena Protocol. Why is it important? I'll give you a very short time. I have very short time. India, for example, took it seriously, and they took 10 years to convert all the protocol details of Cartagena into an India-specific law that was passed by the parliament and became part of the constitution in the year 2002. It's called Biological Diversity Preservation Act of India. Canada doesn't have anything like that. Why is that important? It has a lot of clauses that can be used to protect yourself even against inadvertent damage because of introduction of genetically modified crop that might make your local crops contaminated or extinct. So, in case of India, many of you probably don't know, India doesn't allow genetically modified food. Don't. Only allowed one crop, BT cotton, which people don't eat. Not only that, even field trials, controlled field trials of genetically modified food is not allowed. Not in India. The new government, which came to power 1 month ago, very pro-West, very pro-USA, tried to passed a law allowing controlled trials of genetically modified food, controlled trials only, of X numbers. There was already a huge groundswell, and yesterday's news is the Environment Ministry has stopped it and put it on the back burner. Even field trial is not allowed as of now. But in 2010, something very interesting happened. Monsanto tried to introduce BT eggplant in India. And there was a massive groundswell. India is the birthplace of eggplant. There are 6,000 varieties of it in India. And they didn't want it. There was farmers union. There are thousands of people on the street, scientists, activists, you name it. So that time, the government of India got scared again and they blocked it, and it remains a moratorium till now. However, while all this was going on, a small NGO and a smart man by the name of Leo Saldana, he lives in Bangalore, he found out that Monsanto had violated this 2002 Biological Diversity Preservation Act of India. How? Because that law said any plant or any organism that is residing in this country, which either naturally evolved or done by hybridization of farmers, are the collective intellectual property of the Union of India. Nobody, no corporation, can study the genome without the Government of India's specific permission, and definitely cannot tinker with it and create a patented life form out of this. And Monsanto has done just that. There was enough information, proof, because they used the Indian agriculture institutions to do this, that they have stolen, according to this law, if you don't take permission, you have stolen, the genome of three Indian eggplants to create the BT eggplant. So by doing that, Monsanto had committed an act of biopiracy. So this gentleman, Leo Saldana, didn't take Monsanto to court, took Government of India to court, and provided the information that your own law has been broken by this company, and according to the last paragraph of the law, this company is liable to be sued by you, so please sue them. And he won the election court case, and the High Court has instructed the Government of India, who wants to be in bed with Monsanto, to sue him because he broke your own law, and you say, so Government of India is now suing Monsanto. This is the importance of Kartagena Protocol, and this is what Canada has not ratified, although they signed. And most Canadians don't know about it. Our idea is to go and meet these people when we go to Montreal, because I have spoken to that office myself. Okay, now the next thing is, I'll quickly mention two, three scientists. I talk to scientists. You can check my blog, which is tonu.org, www.tonu.org. I talk to most people and put it up. His own, my discussion with him is on my blog as a video. I'll mention Stephanie Seneff, whose charts you saw here. She's from MIT. I asked her not only this chart of correlation, but you've been studying this subject for a long time. Where is your prediction? Because the release of glyphosate year upon year is apparently not stopping and not flattening out. It's just increasing. But you tell me. She said, yes, it is increasing. And the way it is a close fit with autism is my prediction, which is her prediction, that the year 2025, one out of two kids born in North America will be falling under autistic spectrum. One out of two. And she is a scientist from MIT. You can hear it on her own voice on my blog. You can buy the DVD drive. We are selling one for $10. Her own thing is also there. There are 400 items on the DVD, but not everything fits, so some of them are still on my blog. And she told me, Tony, I'm so worried about it that I'm thinking of telling expectant mothers in North America, especially United States, that if you want to have a baby, please seriously consider one of two options. One, leave North America. Because it's not a laughing matter. 25% of glyphosate is released in North America, in USA. And USA does not have 25% of the world population. So you do your math, you will know that Americans are subjected to more glyphosate exposure than any other country in the planet. And Canada is a lapdog of USA. They just do what they want to do without any kind of independent testing. So we are probably very close. Unlike USA, we don't even disclose our statistics. So you can't even find out how much per man glyphosate is on you. This is how bad we are. So anyway, this is Stephanie Seneff. I'll talk to you about Don Huber. He's a biological warfare expert. He was employed by the US military for a long time. His job was to protect Americans from biological warfare. He has been studying glyphosate for nearly 40 years. He is now old. He is Professor Emeritus in Purdue University in Idaho. I know him very well. He has sent me a personal CD of various science papers, which is also on the DVD, 98 files he's sending, you know, to tell everybody. He told me, you know, Tony, if I was a terrorist, because that was his job, protect them from terrorism, bioterrorism. If I was a terrorist, he's telling me, and that's on record, you can hear, and I was looking for inventing a molecule to release in the United States that would, over a long period, hurt a lot of Americans and hurt American environment and their industry and their economics, I could not have invented anything better than glyphosate. And we don't even have to worry about it because Americans are doing it to themselves. All these biological terrorists can sit back and laugh. This is Don Huber, biological warfare expert, telling me. You can hear him. So, okay, that's done with it. Now I'll come back to the my main two issues. I think I have 7 minutes still left. Glyphosate testing. I found out, accidentally, as it happens, that Canada does not have a single lab anywhere where a Canadian can give his urine or blood or breast milk of expectant mothers to see if glyphosate if they have been poisoned by glyphosate, if it is present in their body. Not one lab. You can do it in USA, you can do it in Germany, you can do it in Russia, you can do it in most countries, even in third world countries you can do it, but not in Canada. It was a shocker for me. I found out that nobody knew, not the politicians, not the environment ministry, nobody knew. And I found out because I spoke to every registered lab in Canada, more than 160 of them, to find out that nobody will do it. It's not because it's illegal, but nobody will do it because nobody set themselves up because, why? No doctor, no hospital, no health ministry, no environment, nobody in authority in Canada ever wanted to know whether you have been poisoned or not. That's why. Tony Mitra wanting to send 10 samples is not big enough business, and this is they're hearing about it the first time. Nobody else asked for it, so they don't do it. They have not set themselves up. As simple as that. It made me absolutely raving mad, you know. And my letters have been picked up by the ministry, different ministries, all including the Health Minister of Canada. Some minister of MPs have picked it up. They have called me up actually from Ottawa about it. They themselves didn't believe it. They asked their own secretaries and their legal officers to cross-check, and after 3 weeks they called me back and saying, you're right, we don't have one lab. I said, I told you that already. So now I was involved with trying to find up and set up a lab where you all can test yourselves whether you've been poisoned, and those who have been poisoned or not poisoned, you want to know which part of the food is containing how much glyphosate so that we can test our food too. By the way, there's no lab in Canada that will test your food. So how bad is that? Ghana you can do it, but not in Canada. I mean, nothing, not with all respect to Ghana, they are doing things much better than us. But I talked to all the labs in USA to see if they will help Canadians. I told them that we are in a desperate situation. This is a test that is not supported by Health Canada, not supported by insurance, not supported by nobody. So if people want to know if they are poisoned and which part of the food is having glyphosate, they'll be paying out of their own pocket. So we need somebody who will offer this service cheap and not charge us astronomical. Most of the prices are high because the lab scientists are very highly paid and their hourly rates are very high. So after talking to literally all labs in USA, I managed to convince just one lab in New York to take pity on us. That is Creative Diagnostics in New York. And the scientists became friendly with me and they said, we will provide this service free of charge in our spare time for you Canadians. I feel bad that you can't do it. And by that count, where Canada, by the way, will test your water and soil. There's only two things they'll test for a price of about $250 to $500 per test. Creative Diagnostics were willing to test in batches of 40 your urine, your blood, your breast milk, cow milk, bread, corn, canola, whatever, sugar, as well as soil and water, for an average price of approximately $30 a test. And that happened because of this man standing on this dais. Now, this became public. Instantly, there was a groundswell in Canada. A lot of people joined and started making batches in different towns that will organize 40 samples and send, and so on. I wanted to test the homeless people first or the poor people because I know I am eating little carefully. I can afford it. I probably don't have any or very little. But the real demography of Canada are people who are who cannot afford to be so careful because organic food is more costly. So I, even people help me by raising funds to test them, you know, because they can't afford even $5, $10, $30 they can't pay, you know. So we got it organized. Even some of the MPs, Alex Atamanenko is an MP in Ottawa, he sent me a personal check. I didn't ask for it, but he came to find out, he sent me a personal check. Hey, you are going to test these poor and homeless people, here's my check. I've not cashed it here, it's still lying there. So what happened is that Americans came to know about it. Moms Across America is a women's group team that is concerned about this issue. They got their breast milk and all tested in USA, paying a much higher price. And they were shocked to see breast milk is having glyphosate, which means it does bioaccumulate. There was a question about it earlier. They joined us because they were paying high cost, and at $30, they're no-brainer. So they announced a big announcement, and they wanted to test all the states and all that. They joined us and approached the lab. Scientists came to know about it, including Stephanie Sinov and Anthony Samsel. They joined the lab, and this whole movement was starting off. I paid for the first batch of 40 tests out of my credit card, and boom, what happened? It became too popular. Okay, I have only 3-4 minutes left. It got too popular. There was a political pressure, not political, maybe commercial pressure. They're not talking about it, but overnight they stopped the services and they refunded the money. They won't test anybody. Not at that price. They'll do that for maybe a couple of $100, in which case most people cannot afford to test. Canadians especially so, because the cost of sending courier across with biological, you know, samples is complicated, and you have to do some special packaging, and declaration brings the cost up. So we are back to square one, and we are trying very hard to get another citizens lab set up in Canada. And I appeal to everybody, all NGOs, all big people, all rich people, poor people, parties, everybody, cities, councillors, provinces, to do something. Nothing has happened yet. Maybe something will happen. You should stay in touch. I'll leave my name cards. So those who are interested in this subject, maybe you can pick up some and stay in touch. That's first part gone. The second part is what we can do. We can do a lot. In politics, our politics is corrupt. Not only Canada, everywhere, but Canada is corrupt. So that's why Monsanto can get away with doing what they're doing. Not only Monsanto, but a whole lot of others. It's not just Monsanto as such. But anyway, I found out that the lowest form of government in Canada, the municipal government, is less corrupt and more susceptible to your efforts than any other higher body. First of all, there is no political party. If you are you can be a councillor, elected person, you can be an atheist, your next man can be a rabbi, third man can be communist, fourth man can be, you know, right wing, left wing, blue, red, green, whatever. There is no ruling party, there is no opposition bench. All of you have to sit together, discuss, vote, and take decisions. This is one thing. The party is missing. There is no party hierarchy, there is no party boss to tell you what you will do. It's all your conscience and your constituents. Next, they cannot hide from you, unlike in provincial or the Ottawa government. You meet them all the time in stores and all that. And third, it doesn't take $1 million to defeat them in the election. In fact, it takes no dollars. A lot of people have won those elections with zero campaign finance. So this is possible. One example is Harold Steeves. There are quite a few examples in BC. Harold Steeves is a councillor and a natural farmer in Richmond, BC, which has got a large agriculture holding, including 3 farmers who are growing GMO. He has been 45 years a councillor, and he worked at them and worked at them and worked at them. After 2-3 years of negotiation, he managed to bring the motion to the table in the municipal council to vote on the city going GMO free. And that meant the 3 farmers will be allowed, they were grandfathered in, to continue doing business the way they were doing. But if they sold their farm, the next farmer will not be able to do it, and no others will be able to do it. They banned the lawn pesticides, and they had the rights to, any municipality has a right to select what gets sold in their stores. So they passed the bylaw that no GM seeds can be sold in Richmond. That is 2-year-old history now. What happened after that is a cascading movement, and 24 more towns in BC have already passed resolution to be GMO-free, like Richmond. It started an avalanche just from one town and one man. BC has a union of municipalities called UBCM, Union of British Columbia Municipalities. They had their annual general meeting in Canada Place in Vancouver last year. 1,500 councillors came. This motion was placed on the table for entire BCs, all municipalities vote one way or another they want to be GMO free or not. It was hotly debated. We were all standing outside with placards and shaking hands with 1,500 councillors, please vote yes. Some of them wouldn't touch hands with us, they just ignored, but most of them did. It passed 60-40. So GMO is desired to be banned from entire province of BC. They have passed this resolution to the provincial government to consider passing a law. They will try to fight it. But this is a groundswell of political movement from the bottom up, and it is possible. And that is how Alberta is trying to do that. Many of the towns are going the same way, and that is why we are passing the message, so that you know you can do something, but you have to get involved in the municipal level. Okay. 1 minute. So, I have nothing more to say except please get involved at your municipal level. The reason bad people get elected is because some people get elected in municipalities with 5 votes. I have evidence of that. Only 5 votes. Why or how? Because Canadians watch TV and drink beer, but they don't do their own democratic duty, which is to vote and vote with their conscience. They don't do that. If you don't vote, you will get shitty politicians to take your rights away. And that's what is happening. Thank you, gentlemen.